Right now it is time for the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Nack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, and you can find them at dqag.com on the web. Now, I know I've got Tim there, but Tim, is Greg available this morning?
Yeah, he should be.
Once again, he's missing
Skype.
He's missing from my Skype.
Because when it came on my phone, it says Greg has joined the call.
I don't have Greg in the call. This is terrible. I hate going through this every week. Well, anyway, let's see if I can find where he is here. And they've changed where you can... Oh, there, invite. So we're going to go to here. Click this. It is... Says you're there, yep. And won't even let me get a hold of Greg. That's unbelievable. I don't understand. I'll try one more thing here. Does one start invite? I clicked invite and that didn't work. So that didn't. Oh, now here we go. I'm gonna ring him and see what happens. Greg, you there? It says not on this call. No,
let me see if he's what's going on.
Yeah, it won't let me connect to him. That's amazing. Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know why I see myself here, but I'm not on.
You hear that?
you're not there. You're not there. It says not on this call.
Huh. He's restarting Skype.
All right. Well, while it's restarting okay. Skype, I thought that this was an interesting thing that happened. When Aaron Judge hit his record 62nd home run ball, the person that got it was offered $3 million. And they said, thanks, but no thanks. I'll go to auction. At auction, he received $1.5 million plus whatever the commission was. So, big, big mistake.
Good morning.
There he is. There he is.
This is so frustrating. It's so frustrating.
But the kid lost, or the man lost, probably $1.7 million by not taking the original offer. Somebody offers me $3 million for a baseball, I'm taking it.
Exactly.
Especially, you don't have to pay commission because he's offering it to you. So it's all your money. It's all your money.
Yeah. Now, if he would have waited maybe a little bit, maybe it would have gone for $3 million. But, you know, it's in the heat of the moment. Here it is, and it takes some time for, you know, people to appreciate what has just happened and the magnitude of what that is. But, hey, yeah, I don't know, $3 million. And so we ended up with just 1.5 less commissions. So, Greed.
I mean, 1.5 less commission is still good, but if you run into Corey Yeomans, don't bring this up because.
Yeah.
I can see if he's married. His wife, you did what? We lost $1.5 million? Time for a divorce, so he's going to lose more money. Really, honest to gosh. Well, you're right. Greed does that. Greed does that to people. So what can you do? Another interesting story, and this is E.T., the model from now, it's hard to believe E.T. was in 1982, but yes, it was. The model from his collection, Spielberg, $2.5 million at auction.
Yes. It was pretty incredible. I mean, Julian's had, it was over 1,300, I think it was 1,300 items in their sale. And that was one of the big highlights, is the E.T. model, which just unbelievable.
Well, don't you think also it had to do with the provenance? That was a big thing.
Well, yeah.
I'd be curious to find out how much it would have sold for. Still a lot of money, but how much it would have sold for had it belonged to someone other than Spielberg, because that, I mean, that, that name alone adds a couple of zeros.
You know, what, it's, you look at these and you, another story, and I love the way this is highlighted. At a buzzy auction in Hollywood memorabilia, Moses' staff sold for 20 times its estimate. So I said to myself, Moses' staff? How did Moses' staff get into the... Well, of course, it's not Moses' staff. It's Charlton Heston. Holding a fake Moses' staff. But still, that went for $448,000.
Yeah. Really, that is... That, we were talking about this. The only thing when Tim was working at Christie's, they had a Hollywood sale, and they sold the Ten Commandments, the copy, or the one of the
copy
of the
it wasn't the
Ten Commandments, like it wasn't Moses' staff, but and I thought I could have sworn that the robe was in there and the staff, but I don't think it was. But the one interesting thing is, I think it would have been much more, interesting, I guess, if they would have given information on the provenance on those two pieces. On these important pieces of memorabilia, I think it's imperative that there is a chain of custody, especially when you're paying that much for something. And I was curious to find out why they didn't mention anything about the provenance of these two particular items. When, if you look at some of the other items that sold in the Heritage auction, it does say they were on exhibit at this museum and that museum. And,
well, Greg, that was the staff was at Julian's. The robe sold for $448,000. That was at Heritage. So there was lots of Moses stuff that came up.
But it wasn't Moses. It wasn't Moses.
Moses was selling his wardrobe. What can I say?
Moses, supposedly.
I get so upset when I see headlines like that. Because if it was really
it's
Moses,
misleading.
Get me that staff. I can do good things with it if it's Moses' staff.
You can part the lake.
That's right. It's worth $400,000. But, you know, also in these auctions, though, and I love the show, Mandalorian was a Disney show that came up in I think 12 or 14 episodes on the Disney Channel. And the helmet that he wore went for $75,000. Now, this isn't even a major motion picture release. This is just a 12-part screening, virtual streaming, $75,000. And how about this? Harry Potter's Nimbus 2000 Quidditch broom.
Yes.
$128,000.
I know.
I would love to have some Harry Potter memorabilia.
That's
just
that's
one
bad.
Piece. Just one piece is all I would like. I mean,
I know, but
we
that,
are
that,
such
that
major.
Broom is great.
We're such major Harry Potter fans that when I got excited when Tim told me about that, I thought, oh, my God, the Nimbus sold for – it was an amazing thing. But the Harry Potter stuff is doing really strong. As a matter of fact, if you look at the prices that were achieved at both of these auctions for movie memorabilia, it seems like the market is – really, really getting much stronger. Don't you think, Tim? It seems like some of these things 2 years ago might not have brought so much, but what's happening? I don't quite understand why now it's happening.
Why now? Well,
yeah, I mean, it seems like over the, and also like some of the sports things, the market seems to really starting to be taking off again.
Well, of course, because look, Harry Potter has been around now for, it's been a while. It's
22 a while. Years.
Right. So you have some of these, so 22, 32, 42. You have a number of people who are coming that grew up with this or remembered this as young adults and now can recapture their youth. I mean, this, the Harry Potter series is like gone with the wind for some of the, you know, I mean, when you think about it, is that some of the 20 and 30 year olds don't know Gone with the Wind, but they definitely know Harry Potter. And it's that memorabilia and nostalgia that go hand in hand. Is you have a number of people that are, you know, coming into just, they have more disposable income and they want to be able to capitalize on these iconic pieces from these movies. So we see this happen, you know, throughout every generation. This just becomes a whole nother generational iconic film that, thanks to all of the marketing and merchandising and the Broadway show and all the other flip, you know, the other things that go along with Harry Potter, is that it's still in the culture. It's still right there, very strong within pop culture. So I think that's what's driving this.
You know, I think it's really hard for people in the business like yourself, because the staff that Charlton Heston had, it sold for, let's see here, it sold for 22 times its estimate. It's got to be hard. It has to be hard for some of these items when you sit down and look at it and come up with a reasonable estimate about what it's going to sell for.
Well, that was one of the questions that I had thought about as well, because normally if you look at the estimates, the pre-auction estimates that we've seen in the past of some of these iconic pieces, they're always going to sell for more than usually what their estimates are. But this much more, I mean, that's really notable. And it's hard to understand why that it wouldn't have been estimated. But, you know, there again, the pre-auction estimates are just opinions. They're just, it's just a jumping off point. So I'm quite certain that the auction houses know that this is going to do much more than that, but this is a place to start. And I don't know whether they were using the psychological edge of, well, let's put it at this, and because we know it's going to sell for a lot more, and maybe this will just salt the interest so that people will be, you know, they get testosterone bidding going on, and the next thing you know, you're spending, you know, $300,000 on Moses's staff.
Charlton Heston.
That's right. Thank you, Tim.
I have to ask you, Marshall, did you by any chance, because I know how you love cars, did you see that Ferris Bueller's Ferrari, this was the prop Ferrari, the one that drove through the glass window?
Yeah.
It sold at Heritage, and it sold for $337,500.
And that was, that's a prop Ferrari, yeah.
Yes, and here's the interesting thing: is it's probably one of the only times you'll see a piece of like a car when they describe what's the problem with the car, you know, that will help lower the price. But in this case, because it tells you all the scratches and dents, and that the hood isn't hooked on, and there's no motor. I mean, would you pay $337,000 for a car that has no engine? But in this case, this is probably one of the most iconic pieces of driving memorabilia in motion picture history.
Well, it's because, once again, you're right, provenance. It became part of that movie. That movie and its popularity spans generations. For it, that just hit a chord that spanned generations. And I've always enjoyed the movie. But I never imagined that it would be as popular as it is. And one of the best scenes is when that car goes through the window and out. I mean, so anybody who loves that movie and has the money, I think that's something that they want. They probably
I bet Matthew Broderick is very happy that this movie has been a cult favorite as well.
No, really, I bet you that's that person who bid on this and won it has other memorabilia from that movie. I would be willing to bet you. Because it is an iconic movie, and I know it's not. It's a movie about nothing, kind of like a Seinfeld show, but it's just such an entertaining movie.
Oh, it's coming of age. Yeah. It's a coming of age story, Marshall. Come on.
Yeah, but I never came of age. Is my problem.
Oh, that's why I see. That's the disgust.
Okay. All right.
You know, when you look at the photo, they have a short video of it. If you go to Heritage, the auction site, and you can see the results. But when you look at the full-on photograph of the car, I mean, you can, without even seeing it, you can visualize him sitting in the car backing through that window. I mean, and that right there is, I guess that just says it all about why this car is so iconic. And I think the other car did sell at one point, but I don't know how much it sold for, but I think this car is probably as cool as the car was in perfect condition in the movie. I think this car kind of says it all about the love for this movie. Right. I think it's a really, really great movie.
Yeah, but you know what? Overall, and just whether it's entertainment, art, Christie's just announced that as they close out 2022, they have achieved the highest annual sales total in the art market history at $8.4 billion.
My next story I was going to bring up. $8.4 billion. Yeah. Dollars.
$8.4 billion.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
and that's just one house. I mean, that's just Christie's. And some of us will probably.
I'm just going to say.
Not too far behind.
Yeah, because the you know what? And I think also, Tim, if you go down even to some of the lower level auction houses just beneath them, the lower tier, I think they've probably also done record year.
They've
because
done well, yeah.
So, but you know, I mean, $8 billion. This is why I'm saying there seems to be a trend. There just seems to be a trend, an upward trend in the auction market over the past year or two. And even, you know, with all of the doom and gloom about what's happening in the economy, but there again, we have to say that $8 billion doesn't come from average Joes like us.
No, but now
it's from,
you look at the story and it said that, art auction sales from the companies were up 33% from the previous years, but private sales were down 29%.
Interesting.
I think that's probably a result of the pandemic probably coming to an end. Could that be, you know, more things were done privately during the pandemic?
Possibly, yeah.
That's logical to me. I believe that's very logical. And, art, we talked about this briefly when we were in the middle of the pandemic, that we couldn't figure out why art was still selling so much, at such high levels and a lot of private sales. And we had thought, well, maybe it is a pandemic. But now that the pandemic's over, I mean, we'll have to... This kind of a trend, you have to follow it for at least a year, maybe a year and a half or 2 years to see if...
To look back.
If private sales continue to level off or decline, then I would say, yes, that's probably a good venture to say that was because of the pandemic. But... Well, who cares? $8 billion
well,
in a year.
No, that's correct. That's correct. But it also goes back to how you opened the show, Marshall, is a private sale, you know, offered one thing and then going to auction, it, you know, there's a whole different thing. So it could go either way. It could be a private sale and you have a windfall and that's great. Or you could do a private sale and then you go to auction and you don't get as much. So there's really, it becomes a risk. And I think that people are seeing that the auction side of things has been going really well, and they would prefer to let the market dictate what they would get for it, as opposed to somebody saying, here's an asking price and let's see if we can get that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens just in the next year as well as we go into 2023. I can't believe
it. I know, it's scary to think about that. Now, there's one other sale that I want to talk about, Sotheby's, a sale celebrating human achievement. LeBron James' human achievement comes to the forefront again. His 2013 NBA Finals jersey is set to go. They think it's going to bring between $3 and $5 million.
Yes. Yes. It's, you know what? And the LeBron James market has not cooled at all. And he has continued to, continue to play and continue to be controversial out there in the market, but also to bring things to light. So I think that's probably conservative. I mean, that has the potential to almost sell at double, either the low or the high. I mean, quite honestly,
it's just interesting. It's just amazing. $3 to $5 million dollars for a jersey worn. Well, you know what? It's what collector. It's hey, it's what everybody dreams of.
This is it. I know. I still have hopes for our Tiger Woods rookie card. That's going to be worth
a million. Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that at some point on what show.
Well, we'll talk about
it. I'm holding on for dear life with this card.
I get really scared when I see Tiger Woods out there with his son, and his son is out driving Tiger Woods.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
How old are we all?
What he does.
Yeah. How old are we all? Or Tiger Woods?
I know.
Seems like
well, you know, I think the great thing about it is, it's a legacy. We're watching a legacy in real time, and I think that's wonderful to be able to see that in our lifetime. To see two. This is now the third generation.
Phenoms. Yeah.
Yes.
Phenoms.
Yeah. And how could you not be a phenom when you have a father and a grandfather like that?
All I can say is it seems like yesterday that Nike announced a big coming out of Art Tiger Woods.
Right.
And it's not that long till his son's going to get the same treatment. Yeah, all right, guys.
Definitely.
Hey, Merry Christmas, you guys.
Thank you.
You too.
And happy Hanukkah.
And yes.
As we're in the week of Hanukkah.
And we will speak to you guys next week.
Okay. That's great.
Take care, guys.
Buddy.
Bye-bye. Bye. Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraises here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find them at tqag.com on the web.